Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. With the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so feel free to swing on by and check out what popped up there yesterday. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I'm at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three of those
E. All right, Dan, I have a gigantic problem today. And I can't figure out how the largest sports media company in the world either did such a poor job of research or just didn't care and wanted to make this guy come off like a complete ass. I can't figure this one out, so you're going to have to help me here. And I get it. Not too many people are going to know who Ray Cicerelli is. All right. Who he actually is he's a part-time NASCAR truck series racer. It's the Gander RV and Outdoor Truck Series is what it's called. He's been in the series for the last 4 years, but not only is he a part-time driver, he's a team owner. All right. Now, he decided with everything going on that this is going to be his last year in the truck series. All right. Now, he started 18 times as a driver and only has one top 10 finish. So he hasn't been super successful. But, you know, as a team owner, that's always a little different. And his quote went like this, Dan. He said, well, it's been a fun ride and a dream come true. But if this is the direction NASCAR is headed, we will not participate after the 2020 season is over. I ain't spend the money we are to participate in any political BS. Okay, now as you can guess, Dan, they roasted this guy, actually went to the point of calling him a loser on national television, on the Mickey Mouse Network. One of the shows I was watching called this guy a loser. Dan, why the hell can't this guy give his opinion? We listen to everybody else's, and I mean, you know, he didn't say anything racist. You know, he didn't come off as anything like that. He just specifically gave his opinion to what was going on in the sport. And he's a loser? You know, I mean, he even goes on a little more here. You know, he says, I don't believe in kneeling during the anthem, nor taking people right to fly, or nor taking people right to fly whatever flag they love. I could care less about the Confederate flag, but there are people that do it, and it doesn't make them racist. All you're doing is catering from one group to another. What did this guy say that was wrong, Dan, besides the fact that his grammar is horrible?
Well, yeah, grammar is horrible. He's just going against what is being shoved down our throats at the moment. And as you know, you're not allowed to do that. You know.
But, I mean, to go so far as call him a loser?
Well, yeah, because he's not a host on a nationally, worldwide syndicated network. So that's the, you know, and that's what kills me. So, you know, when it comes to politics, you know, we're obviously not going to discuss it, but this is very much the same exact thing. My father-in-law, I wouldn't say he's a hardcore Republican, but he's definitely a Republican, white Republican. You know, he stopped watching the NFL when they were kneeling until he came to visit us. And I, you know me, I'm not a huge NFLer to begin with. So the Bears run, and I literally watched the whole game with him. Katie's like, my wife's like, I thought my dad doesn't want to watch the NFL because he's kneeling. And I was like, well, no, he doesn't, so that's why I put it on. Yeah, you know, so I did that. But, you know, he was never a big fan of Barack Obama. So, you know, any meme and all that crap, he's retired, so he just sits there and reposts crap all day long. You know, anything that had to do in, you know, not the positive light of Barack Obama, you know, he retweeted and posted, and, you know, he complained about Obama. His grandson is super lib, I guess you can call him. He will sit there and do the complete opposite, you know, post. Well, I don't see his page anymore because I liked, you know, one of his dad's, who's a Republican's, post because I thought it was funny. And I see humor on both sides. Okay, people, hey, you know, all those Joe Biden memes were hilarious. Keep them going. I wish they didn't stop. But, you know, going back and forth, the grandson will trash the Republicans and the Trump, the whole thing. But it's just, it's funny because it's okay. And then he'll talk trash about his grandpa, but that's okay. But it's not okay for his grandfather to, you know, kind of do the same thing because he didn't like the Democratic nominee. And it's not just Obama, you know, it's basically the Democrat. He'll post his crap about Hillary when they were running. You know what I mean? But going back and forth, it's just, it's always funny to me that if you do it, it's okay. But if the other person does it, it's not okay because their view is not the same as yours. But the people that are always looking for the tolerance and all that don't also reciprocate the tolerance. So it's just like this endless circle. It's definitely the dog chasing his tail. You know, who's the dog and who's the tail? I don't know. They both are. You know, both sides are. So it gets old. And that owner should not, I wanted to say ain't in there somewhere. I just can't fit it into this sentence. But yeah, in this day and age, he should have just never said anything.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in reality, that definitely would have been his best way to go. But again, you know, we're getting a little extreme here. I mean, just because you don't agree with the majority of people right now gets you ripped on nationwide television, mm-hmm. and you're called a loser. And I think the thing that bothers me even more is the fact that they just didn't do any research about this guy at all. You know, like, I don't even believe they mentioned that he races in the truck series. I literally think they just mentioned he was either a race car driver or a NASCAR driver. So they didn't even bother to look into it. If you realize that he's had four starts over 18 years, or 18 starts over 4 years, excuse me, you would realize that he's not a full-time driver. And there would be a little something more into what he's doing. Maybe you would have realized that he owned the team, which costs millions of dollars to run. And, you know, he's willing to walk away from this over, you know, and again, you know, he didn't come off as racist. He just, you know, he just made his statement. And, you know, he doesn't like, you know, apparently he doesn't like the fact that they're becoming more political, but, you know, this is the way things are going to go in sports. You know, now, you know, NASCAR, not only did they ban the Confederate flag there, they're also allowing people to kneel during the national anthem. And when that originally started, I had a big problem with it. Now I'm to the point where I don't care. You know, if you want to stand on your freaking head during the national anthem, go ahead. I'm just so over it. It's not even going to affect me. You know, do whatever you want. I just don't care. But, you know, these kind of things bother me because, again, you know, you're calling out a guy, and, you know, it's difficult not only to own any kind of NASCAR team, but to run a NASCAR team. You know, I mean, the stuff that goes into it is a lot more difficult than these schmucks sitting in front of their computers like you and I are doing right now talking to each other. You know, that job is much more difficult than these bloated gas bags literally calling this guy a loser. You know, and I mean, okay, if you don't agree with him, great. I mean, to tell you the truth, I don't agree with everything he said. I mean, but it's his choice. And again, this is what we used to be. I used to be able to make my own choices, but now I feel like I can't say anything, so I definitely can't do anything, and I feel like I'm painted into a corner here.
Yeah, well, you know, luckily for us, we don't have sponsors or, you know, crap like that, so they won't start leaving us if they don't like our opinions. But, you know, in regards to that, I mean, NASCAR is getting ahead of it, and they understand the reality of the world today, and if they want to keep their major sponsors and, you know, draw additional fans, you know, maybe pique some interest. But, you know, this is something they have to do. And I, you know, to be honest, I wouldn't argue with him, but, you know, when he said that the people could wave the flag that they love, my immediate response to him would be like, so then you're saying by your logic that it would be okay if, you know, we were in a town and half the stadium came with their SS or Nazi flag.
Yes.
And then, you know, the words would get jumbled and I kind of put them on the hot seat, but it's kind of the same thing. And I think some point we need to just move on from it. You know, I mean, it is part of our past. It is part of the history of this nation. And I don't think it's something you can just put in a box and bury it. It still needs to be discussed. It still needs to be taught in the schools. But see, here's the other part of it, Big Jack. I was a substitute teacher approximately 10 years ago, and the entire landscape of education has been changed since our federal government has their hands in the whole thing, which federal government shouldn't, because they're only supposed to, like, get involved between interstate policy, you know, things like that when it crosses state lines, and they're crossing the state line. And the biggest thing that I pulled out of substituting, which confused the hell out of me, Big Jack, this is elementary kids, was I went through every lesson plan. Every teacher I substituted for, I went through all of her lesson plans. You know, I had break times. And I didn't sit in the teacher's lounge with the other teachers because, God forbid, you sit in someone else's seat in an accident. It was, you know, the teacher's lounge is worse than high school lunch. I'm not lying, you know. And so I go through all their lesson plans. You know, they're on the desk. And you know what was not taught in an American school, you know, in the suburbs, you know, the American dream, picket fence, the whole nine, you know, all that BS. Do you know what was not taught in any of those classes from zero or from kindergarten to fifth grade? They did not have any plans for social studies or science. Well, what's the big deal, damn the man? Well, number one, a fifth grader couldn't spell their name or write their name any better than a kindergartner, which killed me. Maybe they did do social studies, but they only did it for events, seasonally. What season would you do that for? Oh, I don't know, Thanksgiving. You know, things like that. They didn't have, like, a set plan. So they're not teaching the kids history anymore. So they don't know. They don't know. Until you go to high school and you're required to take, what, 1 year maybe? You might get an overall breakdown of what happened in, you know, the United States. And then it goes basically, you know, everyone left England to come to the United States. They all got here. And then the North was so righteous because they didn't have slaves, even though they're pretty much racist, as racist as the Southerners, but that didn't matter. You know, so then the Southerners and the Northerners split because, you know, the Northerners weren't racist and they didn't want slavery. Well, no, shut up, because they didn't want slavery because the Southerners wanted the slaves to be counted for voting purposes. It had nothing to do with racism. They didn't give a shit. Neither side. So then that's what we're taught in history class. And then all of a sudden it goes from slavery, and maybe they'll touch on civil rights, and then you don't really get anything else. You don't get a full picture of what happened or, you know, why it's not right, you know. So, and what it is, I don't know. I guess I'm rambling on, but it's just, it starts from the top and, you know, teaching the kids at the bottom. So they're only showing them what they want them to see. You know, you're not giving everyone the full picture. So then, you know, there's the misconception between the generations, because, you know, older generations have a little bit more knowledge because they were given more. And the younger ones are only shown what's in front of them at this time. They're being indoctrinated. Oh, my God. Big Jack, shut me up, because I'm going to get on a ramble that has nothing to do with sports. But in the end, I mean, he has the right to his own opinion. And if he thinks that NASCAR is going political, then, you know, that's his prerogative. And, you know, take your money to the bank and invest it in something else. But like you said, to just go out there and flat out call him a loser, you know, come on, guys. You got to have more class than that. You know, and that's the one thing that kills me about who the guys are and who gets on TV and who gets these jobs. It's not nice, guys. I mean, we know that from the indie leagues.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about who you know, and it has nothing to do with what you did or how you got there. It's just how much ass you kissed and who you stepped over and pushed in front of the bus to get where you are. So, you know, and that's what it's all about. As long as you, especially in today's world, don't say anything that can be considered in the realm of bigotry, then you're fine. You know, you can say whatever you want. You can go out and call someone a racist, but, you know, then you're okay.
And yeah, well, you know, and then they were clever enough to point out that, you know, if you say his name very quickly, which is Ray Ciccarelli, it'll start off like you're saying racist.
Yeah. But like you said, what is upsetting you is the fact that, you know, they didn't approach this in an investigatory process like a 60 Minutes person might have done. They just said, this guy, old white guy, I'm assuming, NASCAR.
Yeah, he's fit.
The picture, essentially what you're upset about is the fact that they're painting a picture and associating essentially NASCAR with racism. You know, I mean, because if you think about it, in today's world, we don't need 1,000 words. People end up seeing three things and, you know, they just associate. It's about association. Now you're just taking NASCAR, white guy, racist.
Yeah, what it actually ended up falling into me is I heard somebody talking about the media members and the people you see on television reporting the news, and he referred to them as storytellers. You know, they're not really reporters. And then he went on to explain that what they do is they give you a base of a story to make it fit what they need it to fit, and then they go on from there. So they're telling you they're telling you a story that they want to tell you. And obviously, you know, being a NASCAR fan, you know, I knew this name. I didn't know much about him as a driver because, again, he's only made 18 starts in 4 years, and I don't see a lot of the truck races. But, you know, I mean, I knew that, you know, I had read the article this morning, so I knew that he was a team owner as well, you know, because, he was talking about selling his equipment. So, you know, I had already known kind of going in, and now this is me who has, A, you know, no computer skills at all. Dan can attest to that. I'm ridiculously bad when it comes to tech. But I managed to find out that not only was he an owner, but a part-time driver in the NASCAR Truck Series, and yet the largest sports media company in the world who has interns that are supposed to do this research couldn't figure it out. But again, then you run into facts ruining your story.
Well,
so,
you know, and I don't, you could take this how you want to take it, but George Floyd thing. So one of my friends posted this weeks ago about the relationship between George Floyd and that cop who killed him. I'm not going to say alleged because we all seen the damn video. You know, I'm not a lawyer. Whatever. You know, he killed him. There's nothing you can, you know, I know all reporters and, you know, the Fox News and those, they're going to have to say allegedly. But, you know, he killed him. That's it. We've seen it. You've seen it. The whole freaking world's seen it. I only watched it once. I didn't realize. I would never watch that again. It's horrible. I don't want to see that. I mean, I guess you need to see it, but it proved the effect. So, but during this whole time, during the protests, the riot, the whole nine, it wasn't until today when his family is fighting to get first-degree murder charges against this cop that now it's a story that they worked together and that cop didn't like Floyd.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is, yeah, like you said, your friend posted that a while ago. You know, the more, you know, I don't even know, I, you know, I don't, you can't call him liberal, you can't call him whatever, but the smaller networks of reporters and stuff, that was one of the first things that was reported, was that these two had a previous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a previously work relationship. Apparently they worked at some club together.
Yeah, they were bouncers together.
But yet, the mainstream media and the stuff that, you know, that everybody watches, for whatever reason, decided that wasn't important to tell people. I don't, and that's, again, that kind of leads back to this story. You know, you leave out enough to make what you need to make look correct. And I mean, in all honesty, I think they were attempting to play this guy up as a racist, but he didn't give them any fuel to that fight. You know, he didn't make any racist comments. You know, granted, again, like I said, I don't agree with this guy at all. I just don't like the way it was reported, because I think they gave you a biased view coming in. And they wanted to make up your mind for you, because, I mean, let's face it, Dan, a lot of sports fans aren't going to run out and look up Ray Cicerelli, because, A, you know, NASCAR isn't, you know, while it's popular in some areas, it's not super popular with everybody. It's not one of the four main sports. And, B, he's in the truck series.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if they said NASCAR driver, people would probably go looking for him in NASCAR, where you're not going to find him. Well, the other NASCAR series that's on TV a lot is the Xfinity series. Well, he doesn't race there either. So you've got to go one more series down. There you go. He's in the truck series. But they conveniently left that out. So you think he's a loser because he's not listed in any of these series. And, I mean, it just drove me nuts. And I'm like, really? This is how you're going to report this. And again, it's a guy, you know, it's the Drew Brees situation all over again with a different guy. It's a guy who gave his opinion, and in Brees' case, he had to apologize because, you know, obviously he has a lot of African-American teammates that he's going to have to be able to get along with if they're going to win. I didn't see his apology, so I don't know how sincere or heartfelt it was, but his teammates forgave him, and that's all that matters. You know, where this guy, you know, he's the owner. If he wants to quit and walk away, you know, after this season, he can. It's his decision. Let him make it. Whether you agree with him or not, again, it's his money, his decision, his equipment. his team, whatever he wants to do with it, it's up to him. That would be like Dan and I deciding to end the podcast. It's our podcast. We pay for it. We can do whatever the hell we want on here. So there you go. It's ours. That's all his stuff. You know, if he decides that's the way he wants to go with it, and this is why is that a problem, Dan? Again, this is still America, right? You didn't move, did you? Maybe Dan left. Maybe we are ending the podcast because I can't hear Dan anymore, so maybe he's gone and he didn't tell me. So that's horrible. So, but anyways, there was an actual NASCAR race last night. While we're on the subject, I can knock this out real quick. Martin Truex got his first win of the year. He'd been having some ups and downs, but last night, you know, he ran pretty well. Led 132 laps overall. Ryan Blaney finished second. Brad Keselowski came home third. Joey Logano was fourth. Logano led the most laps, 234, and then Chase Elliott was fifth. I'm looking here. What everybody's going to tell you is that Bubba Wallace finished 11th, so I'll just get that out of the way right now. I'm looking. Here he is. Dan's guy, Clint Bowyer. He finished 17th last night. Didn't lead any laps, but he finished 17th, so that's not too bad. So we will see how it goes. And then they move along to Sunday. You know, these NASCAR races are coming fast and furious. So you gotta be ready. Sunday is the Dixie Vodka 400, which will be held at the Homestead Miami Speedway. It's just a few weeks away before NASCAR is going to allow a certain number of fans to come back. So we'll be seeing that as well. But yeah, that's how it went last night. Unfortunately, with my wonderful work schedule, I didn't get to see as much of the race as I would like, but that's kind of how it works. I'll be able to watch, the Sunday race. So we will see how that works out for us, but there you go. So there's our NASCAR talk for the day. We rambled over quite a bit of that. So we'll have to see. Let's see if I can get Dan to come back now. There we go.
All right, Dan. You must have muted me on accident.
No, I didn't mute you. You must have muted yourself on accident.
No, I was talking, and you were just talking over me, but you said I wasn't there, so I hung up and called.
Yeah, you were gone. I thought you just left when I said we could end the podcast when we want. I thought you just decided we were going to end the podcast.
I did want to elaborate just slightly on what you said about the storytellers, and I don't know if that was that NASCAR's guys. Comments, but like you said, they do things to fit their narrative, which that's how I passed research writing 102. I think it's English 102. I don't remember the exact numbers in community college. You had to have like this argument in his paper, and I got an A on it. I think A or B, still did good. So all I did was, fortunately we were starting to get the internet and information was available to the rest of us. I just wrote my paper and then filled in with people that supported my answers. I didn't really do any research.
But hey, whatever worked out. Now I do wanted to pose this to you really quick. And I don't know how it'll actually, kind of work out. But do you think now, NASCAR has always been looked at as a Southern sport, and obviously that's where a lot of most of it, if not 99% of it, where the Confederate flag gets flown the most. Do you believe this has an effect on their fan base at all? Do you see them losing fans, or maybe maybe it's the other way? Which way do you see it?
Uh,
All right, we just went through this, Dan. Did you now? See, I don't have Dan on mute, so he can't blame me. So, you know, okay. Well, let's see. Oh, I didn't do it that time. He's probably letting the dog out because the dog was barking at him. Yeah, you know. So, but yeah, that was a question that was brought up, and I, you know, I don't know. I don't think. Or, you know, again, I don't know. You know, maybe, you know, it's just me. But I wouldn't think it would affect them. But we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see how it works out. So I was trying to type and do this at the same time. And unfortunately, I can't do two things at once. So it's just how that works for me. I'm not that talented, so we shall see. But yeah, that was a, you know, it's kind of a, you know, a little bit of an interesting question, because again, you know, it's always been looked at again as, you know, it's a Southern sport. So, you know, I don't really expect it to affect them at all. You know, again, what, you know, what the hell do I know? So we'll just kind of, I guess, kind of have to wait and see. And like I said, I wanted Dan's opinion, but apparently he has ventured off to greener pastures. So we can sing and dance and do whatever else we want to do. Yeah, I don't know. I found that Dan, he's telling his own story. That's how it's working out. Oh, but all right. I did see, you know, the NBA is looking at getting restarted. They're saying July 30th now. What I found kind of interesting, the way this works out, is they're getting a little bit of pushback from players who are hesitant to come back because of the coronavirus. Now, the NBA has already come out and said that there will be absolutely zero penalty for any player that doesn't want to come back for fear of this, or, you know, whatever their decision might be. For, you know, whatever reason, be it family related or personal related, or you know just worried about contracting the virus and passing it on, or however you want to look at it. What I find kind of interesting is, you know, it's a 22 team restart. You know, and like they keep using the word bubble when they talk about where they're going to play and how it, you know, how it's going to work out. And what's interesting is one of the guys who's actually hesitant about going back is Dan's guy, Carmelo Anthony. So, you know, we'll have to see how that works out. But yeah, here, this is a little, you know, like they mentioned here, players with medical issues that might put them in high risk categories. You know, are some of the people that obviously have the biggest concern. You know, and this was, you know, part of my issue when I got sick, is technically I'm considered high risk. And I was just, you know, lucky enough to get that. Yeah, see how I worked myself in the story there. So, you know, and now this, I don't know if this has been made official yet. But yeah, you know, like I said, the NBA has come out and said there's not going to be any penalty. You know, if a guy just kind of decides that he feels it's, you know, it's better or safer for him to skip, you know, the remainder of this season or whatever you want to call it, that's fine. That's completely up to them. You know, now remember, you know, the NBA is, you know, they're allowing replacements for anyone who does test positive for coronavirus, you know, or does suffer an injury. I guess the catch here is those players immediately become ineligible for the rest of whatever this season is going to be. You know, now that, you know, they've also said that players that looked like they were out on, were going to be out for the season on injury, you know, will be allowed to play if they're healthy. You know, obviously the big name that came up there was Kevin Durant. There was some talk of possibly John Wall returning. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see if, you know, if either of these guys come back or how, or who comes back. I'm sure there's more than just those two guys. You know, they also mentioned that the players, you know, like the players, especially the high-risk players, if it made them more comfortable, they would be allowed to get an independent examination, you know, just to maybe feel safer, or in some cases be actually excused from participation. So it's, you know, it's going to be, you know, there's definitely still some things that they have to work out here. You know, the difficult part is they, you know, with the exception of Carmelo Anthony, I haven't heard any other players' names. So I don't know if we're talking major NBA stars that were concerned here. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Damian Lillard is one of those guys, because he seemed less than interested in returning when they started putting this all together. But I don't know, other than, you know, like I said, other than Carmelo, I haven't heard how it's gonna work or anything like that. But you know, the other thing I saw is apparently, you know, NBA, and they called it team personnel. So I don't know if players are gonna be worked into this as well. But they've been asked to submit a personal medical history to a panel of physicians. Now, of course, these physicians are going to review this to see if these individuals are at serious risk of contracting the coronavirus, you know, either while they're in the bubble or if they were to leave the NBA bubble, you know, because that, you know, that may have a, you know, a bigger impact on the situation. And you got to remember, a lot of these coaches, you know, are older. You know, Greg Popovich is 71, Mike D'Antoni is 69, and Alvin Gentry of the Pelicans is 65. And from, you know, what we've always heard is the older you are, the more susceptible you are to catching this. So, you know, you wonder if they're just kind of looking out. And, you know, there's probably assistant coaches that, you know, maybe in that same age range or possibly even older. So, you know, you've got to kind of figure out how they're going to be able to work this out. I mean, obviously, you're the coach. You need to be on the bench. But there was actually talk of leaving the coaches off the bench. Now, this is the NBA, where the players basically run things by, you know, on their own as it is. You know, in some situations, it seems like the coach is just there to sub guys in and out. So I think the difficult might be, you know, possibility is just the fact that they're so used to being there. So I don't know. But then, of course, this is where the legal jumps in. Because, you know, and here it's the Miami Office of U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. So they jumped in and said the NBA could not exclude any personnel from participating solely on the basis of age. So it's okay if these guys kill themselves coaching a basketball team, I guess. I don't know if that's worth it, but hey, whatever, you know, whatever they want to do. And again, it falls into, that's your decision. I don't know if, again, like I said, I don't know if that would be worth my life, because, you know, there, you know, unfortunately, it appears that when a senior citizen catches the coronavirus, it's very difficult for them to fight it off. Hopefully it won't happen and they won't have to deal with it, you know, and they can get through the playoffs and everybody will stay safe and happy, and, you know, the Lakers can have their title and we can all kind of move on to whatever next year is going to bring us. So we shall see. But, yeah, that's just kind of, you know, some of the stuff that's bouncing around with the NBA and, you know, what they're going to try to do. But, yeah, right now they're targeted for July 30th. I didn't bother to look and even see who's playing, or have they even released it yet on what they're planning to do? Because they're going to play, right? It's going to be the 8 regular season games, and then they're going to spin into the playoffs. But you know, like I said, I haven't heard. Let me see if maybe it's. If it's listed somewhere. That was really nice of my computer to do that for me. So, all right, here's July. Let's go. July 30th is a Thursday as well. So I don't know why they decided to jump in and start on a Thursday. Yeah, nothing listed as of yet. I guess that's not really a surprise. So we'll have to kind of sit on our hands and wait and see, and, you know, see who decides to return, or – you know, if certain guys decide to sit out, you know, you might think that these teams at the bottom that just kind of snuck in to this, you know, little thing the NBA is doing, these guys might feel a little safer about sitting out. But I'm kind of under the impression that we're going to see the LeBron James and the Kawhi Leonards and the Giannis Antetokounmpos. I don't think those guys are going to opt out of playing. You know, not that they'll be forced to play, but could you imagine the uproar if one of these guys decided to step away and was just kind of like, yeah, you know, I don't feel comfortable or safe, or however they phrased it out. You know, just kind of imagine the uproar there of what would go on with a team if that guy decided that, you know, hey, I'm not coming back. Sorry. You know, I just don't feel comfortable or safe doing it. So I'm getting raspy here. Hang on. I need a drink. Oh, there we go. So yeah, it's always difficult to do it by yourself when you talk for the long periods of time. But hey, we were on the NBA. I could have played this.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
It always fits, right? So just kind of how that works out. Now, you know, moving along here, because, you know, I'm not a gigantic NBA guy, but did you watch the baseball draft? I know the second round is going right now. The second or the third round or whatever they got going on. So did you check it out? I got to tell you, I did not. I not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just the process of, the idea that I'm not going to see these guys for however long. So, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, here it looks like the 38th pick was just made. It was the Detroit Tigers who took Dylan Dingler, who's a catcher out of Ohio State. No, I'm not making that up. That's actually his name. And I'm actually way off because I've got 43 picks in the book here. So, oh, yeah, they're way farther down. I was way off. 56 looks like the last one. Logan Allen, a left-handed pitcher from Florida International. So that's some of it. And it looks like they're, I know they're going 5 rounds. So it's 160 picks. And then I don't know if there's compensation after the 5th round. So we'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, since it looks like I have lost Dan, I'm going to cut out about 15 minutes early here and give myself a break. So I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5 o'clock with Stu.